Welcome to the Geeky Grandma with an Encouraging Nudge podcast. Hi, my name is Jill McCarthy from Central New York State, and this is our eighth podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. Hey, welcome, dear listeners. Today I have a special guest, and her name is Missy Quinley Botter. And this Southern Belle is a former teacher, educator, and has also been a principal. She is now retired, and some of her love for grandchildren has sprouted into some retirement possibilities. And she's a great person to tell you some suggestions that just might hit you just right, or might give you some ideas of what you might like to do. Not only does she run a small business, she is also an author, and she's going to tell us more of her own journey. I also have one other special thing. Our husbands happen to be cousins to each other. So we kind of met a little bit later in life, but we've had the pleasure of being at some weddings or parties along the way. So it's my privilege today to bring you Missy. Go for it, Missy.
Oh, thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit of your background with a little more depth? I just kind of skimmed over it.
Okay. I, as Jill said, I was a former teacher. I taught worked for 33 years in Virginia public school systems, actually in five different counties across Virginia. And I started out as a special education teacher working with middle school students and high school students. Eventually, I transitioned over into administration and became an assistant principal at a middle school. And from that job, after a total of 33 years, I retired. You know, when I retired, honestly, I did not have a game plan of what I was going to do. And after being used to being so busy, it was kind of an eye opener. So I went back to work part time for the over at the school board for the school system. And then after a year of that, I decided, okay, I would just go ahead and totally retire. From that point, I started sewing and making dog clothes and toys for the grandkids. And that kind of morphed into a little craft business. And I would do craft shows and things like that. And then my father passed away about 12 years ago. And the Christmas after his death, it was still really hard on my two older sisters and my mom. So for Christmas, I wrote a little book for them that dealt with, it was a fictional story of a little girl and her grandfather, which the little girl, Sarah Olivia, is fashioned after my older daughter, Catherine. And it was my dad, we had had his garden plowed so that he could plant a garden because he always did that every year. But unfortunately, that wasn't to be. So the idea for the book called Poppy's Garden came to mind, and I wrote this little story. And I can't draw, so but anyway, I did this little book for my mom and my sisters for Christmas, and they just loved it. So the next year, I was thinking about something else to do for them. And I kept thinking about how precious family memories were to us and are to us. And so out of that came the idea for Sarah Olivia's memory quilt. And again, it focuses on Poppy, the grandfather, Nana, the grandmother, and Sarah Olivia. And also, you know, some other extended members of the family. But anyway, it's a book about the fictional framework is a little girl gets an assignment at school from her teacher. And the teacher wants her to go home and talk to other people and choose a favorite memory and draw a picture of it. And this little girl's probably kindergarten, first grade. And she stays with Poppy and Nana every afternoon after school until mom and dad come home because they live just right down the street. And she's complaining to Poppy that she doesn't see what is so important about memories. And Poppy, in his quiet way, tells her, well, why don't you do your assignment? And then at the end of the assignment, you tell me what you think is so important about it. And so the story just goes through different things that happen in the course of the story. You know, there's a big snowstorm. The electricity goes out. Mom and Dad and her younger sister come over and spend the night at Poppy and Nana's house, and they end up sharing memories during this time. So would you like me to read a portion of the book?
Yeah, just give us a little flavor.
Okay. As I said, the family comes over to spend the night, and really they have candles sitting everywhere, and Nana had gotten out a flashlight, and they're sitting in front of the fire that Poppy has going to keep everybody warm and for some light in the room. And so since there's no TV, Poppy suggests to Sarah Olivia that this might be a good time to start her, to share with her mom and dad about her special assignment she has. And so she tells mom and dad again that she just doesn't see what is so special about memories. So Poppy smiles, kisses her on the head and says, Sarah Olivia, good memories are God's gifts that allow us to enjoy life. A sweet memory is like a soft quilt that comforts the soul and warms the heart. Like the memory of the first time I held you when you were a new baby, or the first time you called me Poppy. And from there, they end up sharing their memories, each one of them, mom and dad, Poppy and Nana. And then from that, Sarah Olivia gets an idea for her project.
Okay, that's amazing. Thank you for giving us your background. And you can hear how your heart really is in this story, that it's for your granddaughter. And so there's the fiction and the true life all kind of woven in together.
If you want to see, no one else can see this, but you can see this. This is the original Sarah Olivia's memory quilt. And as you see, I can't draw. And so these are printed pages of the story taped or glued into a scrapbook. And so this is what I ended up giving my mom and my sisters for Christmas. So Sarah Olivia came out of that.
Wow, there's so many ways it could go from all that you shared. you know, I kind of specializing in helping retirees or nearly retirees to go into a retirement and do something that feels enjoyable to them and that leaves a legacy for their family. And you said, even though you hadn't planned this path, kind of naturally arose for you, didn't it?
It did. I've always loved to write. I loved to write as a young girl, and English classes were always my favorite when I was growing up and in school. During the course of my teaching career, I took a course called Writing for Teachers or Writing for Educators. And it's one of those classes, you know, that you can take for recertification points. So I'd heard good things about it. So I took the class. And in it, I had to do a whole lot of professional writing. I ended up writing a paper about teaching middle schoolers how to write. At the time, I was a special ed teacher working with a sixth grade regular ed teacher, and I developed a unit on teaching kids how to write through a me book. Because if you read a lot about teaching kids how to write, one of the obstacles they have is they say they can never think of anything to write about. Well, what do people most love to talk about? We love to talk about ourselves. So it, you know, the unit for that came out of that. And so I wrote this paper and the teacher actually submitted it to a state university, and they contacted me, and they ended up putting it in their English bulletin or journal or whatever. And I had done some other writings, and she kept telling me, you need to submit these to magazines, but I never did. So after I wrote this story, actually, like I said, I sat on this story for about 10 years. And during the pandemic, my sister and I were talking, my older sister and I were talking one night, and she said, Missy, you really need to contact a publisher and just see what they have to say. So, you know, due to the encouragement of my oldest sister, I said, okay, I'll do it. And when I did, I was really shocked and surprised when they contacted me and said they'd like to publish the book.
Okay. And you just kind of borrowed hit on one of my questions ahead of time is, when was the time that you were encouraged? And sometimes we just need a little nudge, and sometimes we need a little bigger nudge. And that's what it took. And you had the gift, you'd already created something. So it was just that step to put it out there so others could enjoy it as well.
Right.
That's amazing. I will come back to the book, but there was a little piece about your little side business. I don't want to totally skip over that, because if you'll tell them the name of the business in just a second, and kind of describe the type of things that you were making, because there certainly is an ambiance to them, and it shows you're caring for your grandchildren.
I always loved to sew, and I, you know, grew up making my own skirts and stuff for school and such. And so after I retired, I still love to sew, you know, to make some simple curtains or pillow covers and stuff for my house and stuff. So when the grandchildren started coming along, our three oldest grandchildren are girls. And so they always wanted clothing for their dolls. And so I started out making that. And then I made these little toys, like a little bucket of fish, a fabric fish. And I would put a washer in the nose, and then I got a dowel and crocheted the line for the fishing pole and put a big magnet on the end so that they could use that to fish for the fabric fish. So my daughters-in-law kept saying, Missy, you really need to take this and sell these. And so I started finding out about some craft shows, and I would go to craft shows and sell things. And it just kind of, you know, went from there. It's just a really small little craft business, because with the pandemic and everything, I've only done one craft show the past 2 years or whatnot. But I really enjoy making stuff for children. I do baby quilts and little doll clothes, and I make little crayon portfolios for kids, you know, because when we take our grandkids to the restaurant, they're usually ready to go in 5 minutes. So we have to have things to keep them busy. So it's like that.
Tell them the name of your business, because I think that tells a lot about who you are.
I call it Honeysuckle Frills. And, you know, when I came up with the name, now my older daughter, she's a good idea person. I always run stuff by her. And I knew I wanted honeysuckle in it because it reminded me of being a kid playing out in the country, in the yard. There were always wild honeysuckle growing, and it made me think about those wonderful times as a child just growing up. And it was my daughter that came up with the frills.
Oh, okay.
So.
And your work does have beautiful frills around it.
Yeah,
I love your stick pony that you can ride on. That
oh,
blast from the past for sure.
Yes, indeed.
Yep. Okay. So we're going to stop right here and go for a commercial, and then we'll come back and we'll find out the times that you were inspired along the way.
Today's podcast is being sponsored by the Facebook group called Facilitating Transformations for Women. We empower nearly retired women to go for their heart's desires. You can find a link to this loving group in our bio. And now, let's return to our show.
And we're back. Okay, Missy, I could hear a little inspiring going on in that last story. But please tell the time that you were inspired or that you had a chance to inspire someone else. And you're welcome to do both if you'd like.
Oh, gosh. This is the one that... You know, my inspiration essentially comes from my family, because I grew up in a home where I have two older sisters. They were 6 and 8 years older than me, but in spite of our age differences, we, you know, of course you have all the sibling, you know, little spats and stuff yeah. like that growing up. But we're all really close and we're friends. And our mom and dad were big nurturers. When I grew up in the 60s and 70s, I mean, we grew up in a family that was full of love and full of care. But my parents were not ones to go around saying, I love you, I love you. You know, of course, when they disciplined you, their favorite line was, it's because I love you that, you know.
Yeah.
But we always felt encouraged and inspired by our family. I have to say, when I became a parent and my two little girls came along, when I was, you know, in thinking about inspiration, I have to give a nod to some of these other authors of children's stories that when it came to me creating my own little stories, I think back to the books that I used to read my girls. And I read them stories by these other authors that in reading their stories, it was almost like they were giving kids this emotional hug and they were taking them on like a story train that was filled with not only love, but hope, and also a lesson at the end.
Wow, that gives you chills. thank you for sharing that. And
sure.
Kind of seeing a theme through everything that you've said is there's been a natural path. Doing these things in retirement came out of the little things that you already were doing. Your family's love just is a path throughout everything. And it's just like a little stream that carries you right down along the way, that
right.
It isn't some huge super thing that you studied for, you know, 12 years for it to happen. It just grew out naturally. And I'd especially like to encourage our listeners to think about that. Your Missy just told about making clothes for her grandchildren. I bet some of you made clothes for your grandchildren. I recently wrote about an aunt of mine who passed away recently, and she made some for me and brought them over in a hurry on a birthday that had kind of gone south, and she hurried up and brought them right over, and how that still touches me, and how I still have that box of doll clothes in my grandchildren's toy box, so that we can share that love even further along the way. Thank you. How about the word empowering? Have you ever been empowered, or have you empowered somebody in your lifetime?
You know, when I think of empowered, again, it goes back to my family, my faith. I think probably the biggest thing that empowered me is there was a time in my life where I wound up being a single parent. and I had two girls. And I had always been, you know, a friendly person, but really shy about putting myself out there or, you know, like trying these different things. And for example, I finished my master's degree in administration supervision when my youngest daughter was two. So when I found myself as a single parent when she was seven, and my other daughter was 14, I knew that it was up to me to be, I had to support my girls. And so at that time, I knew I had the education, the experience to push forward as far as my career was concerned. And so within the next 2 years following that, that's when I went into administration and kind of branched out and some things like that. But I think, and again, it still goes back to, I was empowered by those things that were so important to me, which, you know, like I said, my kids, my family.
Right. They were important. And that was enough to give you that nudge to
yeah.
through then. And, you know, at one line you said, you knew you had the education, you knew you had the experience. It really, you really did know that. And that gave you the support to stand on that.
And well, the thing about those is I also had to develop the confidence. And I had to do a lot of self-promoting, so to speak, you know, within myself.
Right. I remember myself, the biggest confidence I had was from the worst class that I ever had. And I, you know, I say that lovingly. You've been in classes, you know, they come in any varieties, but
yes.
The most difficult one, when it was over and I took them out to the bus that last day and I came back in the building. And it's like, after that, there was an invincibility feeling for a little while that if I actually survived it and we all got out of it alive, you know, that I really could handle whatever came along. And yeah, there could have been an occasional hard one here or there, but it gave me, it, getting through something I didn't think I was able to, told mm-hmm. me you really can. And yes. Confidence comes in different packages, but
it does,
but we get them with our own bow on them when the time is right. So I am going to stop right here a minute and we'll come back and we're going to talk about Heart's Desire when we come back.
Today's podcast is being sponsored by the Facebook group called Facilitating Transformations for Women. We empower nearly retired women to go for their heart's desires. You can find a link to this loving group in our bio. And now, let's return to our show.
And we're back. And Missy, I threw out the word heart's desire when we talked ahead of time. I wonder, did you come up with what's your heart's desire? And are you in the path for it? Have you reached it? What do you like to say?
I came up with two ideas. One of them, no, I have not been able to, but maybe one of these days. I have always wanted to learn to play the violin.
Okay.
When my youngest daughter was about six, she was taking piano lessons from this lady who was involved in the Richmond Symphony, and she played the violin. And I told her, and I knew she gave violin lessons. I said, oh, please. I said, I would just love to learn how to play the violin. But she said, no, I won't teach adults. And I said, why? She said, because they have such a hard time learning. She said, I only work with kids. And I thought, okay, you know, I have to respect that. So I never have followed through with that. But another heart desire, if my little Sarah Olivia book is well received and I have ideas for some more, I would just love for my older daughter, Catherine, to collaborate with me, because she is a wonderful idea person. She has, I'm not so sure that she realizes how well she writes. She doesn't have any formal training in it, but she was the daughter that was so close to my mom and dad. I mean, my mom and dad were close to all three granddaughters, but especially Kathy. And she, in fact, gave the eulogies at both my father and my mother's funerals, which, you know, I will eternally be grateful for her for doing that. But she has a real knack for writing and storytelling. So I would just love to collaborate with her on a future project.
That sounds amazing. Wow. As you were sharing that, something came to mind. Julie Andrews at one point lost her ability to sing. She'd had throat surgeries. And now when she can't share her voice in her beautiful song version, she writes children's books with her daughter. And they even live on opposite sides of our country. And they collaborate. Wow. So she's sending her voice on to the next generation through that means. And wow, what a great way to keep that going. That's I can't wait to hear that.
I'm hoping we can work on a project in the future.
That's great. We'll have to bring you both on and get that podcast going. Okay, we've got your heart's desire. One last big question for you, and it's legacy. What legacy do you want to leave behind so that the world knows that Missy lived and Missy fulfilled her purpose?
You know, again, well, I'm not prepared for this one. Forgot about this one. I think the legacy, to continue the one pretty much that my parents taught us about the importance of faith, family, and community. I mean, you've heard the saying that it's important to leave your world better than what you found it. And I think each of us has a part to play in all that, even as small as you may think it is. A kindness that is given to someone else, or something that you do for somebody. You know, you just never know how far reaching those little things are to other people and to their world. My parents were big ones as far as volunteering in the community. My dad never went to college, but he ended up working in one of the inner city schools in Roanoke as a tutor for kids who would have trouble reading. And then he started telling my mother about these children that didn't have enough coats or warm things for winter. My mother was a big knitter, so she got her group together. And for several years, they would make hats, scarves, and sweaters for all those children in the school every fall. And they would take them in and they would get to choose a hat, a scarf, and sweater. And my mom and dad were just like that. And my dad in his 80s, I would call up and I would say, well, Dad, you know, how you doing? What you doing today? And he would say, oh, he said, I've been busy. He said, I've been driving these little old people around. I said, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, I'm driving the little old people to their doctor appointment. And I said, well, that is really nice. I said, Dad, how old are these little old people? He said, I think they're 60. but he and mother were like that, and you know, they just believed in doing for other people. And I hope that in some small way carrying that on, and that my children will continue to carry that on.
Wow.
When it's their turn.
Very much. This is the most tender episode that I've done. And it's just who you are, and it comes out of just you and your life and the way you live. It's authentic. It's all goes together and consistent. And
wow. You know, I've been very blessed. That's what I'll say. I've been very blessed in this life.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say? Anything you want to do, a finishing note?
No, I just thank everybody for their encouragement about Sarah Olivia's memory quilt. If you have any children in your life that you think may enjoy this story, I would encourage you to get a copy of the book. My overall goal is, number one, to get people to start talking about their memories. It's not only a story, but it goes beyond that. Hopefully, it's a springboard to get families talking about their own memories and some of those things that are so precious to them and their families. So, but I thank everybody for their support.
Well, and you will have a link in the show notes to where you can buy the book, Amazon and Barnes and Nobles. Is that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh. And then there's a little video on YouTube that shows the book as well.
Okay. And we'll put that down in the show notes.
Okay.
This has been a pleasure, Missy. And I'm so glad that you came on, and I'm glad that I've had a chance to be in your life.
So. Oh, thank you, Jill. I appreciate this opportunity.
Yep. So I'm going to sign off for now, and we'll
see you in the funny papers. Bye-bye for now.